Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight or in your homes there, if you'll go ahead and open up to the book of John in chapter 13. John chapter 13. On Wednesday nights, our Bible study has been that on the life of the Apostle Peter. The study on the life of the Apostle Peter. And so we have started where Peter got saved, and now we find that Peter is being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He would spend about a little over three years being discipled by Jesus. Last week, Peter is a little bit confused about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now, that is Peter's Lord and Master. That is the one that Peter is looking to as being the Christ or the Messiah, the one promised in the Old Testament. That would come to lead Israel into power and the kingdom, if you will. And, of course, they did not, in the Old Testament, did not acknowledge the fact that there would be a church age. And so Jesus came, and he is presenting the church age, but he is still the Messiah. But in this particular time, Jesus is helping the disciples to realize that Christianity is going to be different from anything they've ever experienced before. Those are the greatest in Christianity are those who are the greater servants. And Jesus himself was presenting himself not only as the Messiah, that he was presenting himself as a servant. And so he was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter did not fully understand it, and Jesus gave him the answer as to why he was doing it. And in verse 7, he says to Peter, Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou knowest not now." Okay, so Jesus was saying, Peter, you're not going to understand it now. Just trust me, but thou shalt know hereafter. You will understand. And it will be something that will be a blessing to you. It will be a help to you understanding what I've come to establish as the New Testament church age. But Peter did not listen, nor did he obey. We find that, first of all, he tried to correct Jesus by taking away from what Jesus had said and saying, "You're not going to wash my feet." And then he turned around, and after Jesus said, "Well, then you can't have anything to do with me," and we find that Peter then turns around and tries to add something to what he said. He said, "Don't only wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head." And neither one of those was the response that Jesus was looking for in Peter, nor is it the response that he's looking for from us. We just need to, first of all, listen to what he says. Look to the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to mankind. Look to what he says and don't try to add to it and don't try to take away from it. Look to what he says and then just be obedient to it. Just do what he says that we are to do. And so we looked at that last week, and I trust that helped you. We're still not done with that yet, because next in the order of events is the exposure of Judas, the one who would sell out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And this was something that in the events, the order of events that was taking place, this is all leading up to understanding why this night would have been the most miserable night in Peter's entire life. He would go from dedicating himself to dying for Christ to denying Christ three different times, all in this one night. And so we find here in John chapter 13, we're going to be reading verse 21 down to verse 27, and this will be the next order of events in the life of Peter. That's what we want to look at it through the life of Peter. And so verse 21, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on the other, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for opportunity to look into your holy word and then present the meaning of it and to help people to better understand through the preaching of your word what you have for us and how we ought to make the application in our lives even today. And so I pray, God, for each and everyone that's viewing the service and are listening to the word of God being preached, that you would empower it once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So here it is. We're looking through this, through the life of Peter. And so Peter has already somewhat been confused this night over seeing his Lord and Savior washing feet, the job of a servant. And so he's still somewhat not fully understanding. And Jesus told him he wouldn't understand it right then. He was still not understanding how that Jesus could be the Messiah and yet be a servant. Right after this, then we find that Jesus tells all the 12 disciples that one of them was going to betray him. One of them had not really put their faith and trust in him. Even though they had all been together for some 3 years, there were one that was living a lie. There was one that no doubt believed Jesus to be a good man, a good prophet maybe, but did not fully trust in him as his Lord and Savior. And this would be Judas Iscariot. Now, when Jesus mentioned that one of them would betray him, I think Peter was feeling a little bit of uneasiness, thinking, could he think that I'm going to betray him, that I don't believe that he's the Messiah? And so he looks over to John, and John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. We find that John, in the book of John, that's how John describes himself, because he's always close to Jesus. And he usually, when he gets to him, he puts his head on his shoulder, on his heart. And so he sees John leaning on Jesus, and he says, he beckons to him, you ask him. This is the one time that Peter was not bold enough to ask him himself. And so something was going on with Peter. Again, Peter was confused over Jesus being a servant. And now he's thinking, maybe he thinks that I'm going to betray him tonight. Maybe he thinks that I don't believe that he's the Messiah. Yet one of us is the culprit. And so he looks at John and he says, John, you ask him. And so John asks Jesus who it would be. And he said, the one that he would give a sop to. They were finishing up the Passover meal. And so in the chronological order here, they're finishing up the Passover meal, and he gives this sop to Judas Iscariot. Verse 26 says, And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, Peter now is experiencing Judas's betrayal. How close was Peter to Judas? They were the 12. For 3 years, they had followed Jesus Christ. They slept out in the desert. They stuck together. They were together in feeding the 5,000. They were together in serving Jesus. They were together in being instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had all left family. They had all left their jobs, and they all had kind of combined. I believe that the friendship of these 12 men was very strong. None of them ever believing that one of them could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. None of them believed that any one of them could have been lost. They believed them all to be believers. They believed Jesus to be the Messiah. They all thought that each one of them had put their faith and trust in following Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord. And now they find out that one of the 12, and that now they know who it is betraying their Savior. How would this impact Peter? That's what we have to look at. Now remember, all of this is leading up to Peter denying Christ. We're focused on and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. In just a matter of hours, he's going to deny Jesus. How was this possible? Well, first of all, he's confused over Jesus now being a servant. And now he's hit with this idea that one of the closest, one of the 12, is going to sell him out, is going to betray him. Have you ever had a friend that got out of church and you stayed in church? Did it impact your thinking in some way? Did it maybe confuse you about how could they, if they're saved, not be in church? How could they, if they're saved, go out and start living that way? How could it be if they're saved that they have an affair on their spouse? How could it be if they're saved to do this or to do that? And it's impacted your thinking. And if we would be honest, it would even get us to question our faith. It's not a bad thing to question your faith so that you might strengthen your faith. I believe that's why God puts us through trials, and that's why God tests us, because as we go through the trials, we are being tested. Our faith is being tested. And if we hold on to our faith, it will be stronger on the other side. But this is something that everyone will experience from time to time. Somebody that you served with no longer serving God. Even though you don't want it to affect you, it can be very confusing. In the ministry, I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I've had several friends, so at some point were close friends of mine, that completely out of the ministry today. And every time one of them resigns, something else is going on. But every time that's happened, you know, I've questioned my own self, and I thought, how could that be? I had a pastor friend of mine that I was close to a certain degree. We did a lot of things together, and he started being influenced by the New Age type of mentality. And he told me one day, he said, I don't know who my friends are going to be next year. I might just have to get me a different set of friends because I'm going a different direction, and the guys that I'm friends with right now, they're not going to agree with the direction I'm going to go in, and so I'm going to have to, I don't know who my friends will be next year. And I walked away from that thinking, what's going on? What's happening? This was what was leading up to Peter's denial of Christ that very night. Now, listen to me, and you've heard me say this throughout the years many times, there's never an excuse for wrong behavior. But there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. There's no excuse for Peter. And Peter would be the first one that would present that to you. Today, if you would, and when we get to heaven, we see Peter. He'll be the first one to say, there was no excuse. But this is what happened. This is what allowed Satan to get in my head. And this is what allowed me to yield to this doubt and even denying Christ three times. This is some things that went on. Jesus has revealed it to us. First of all, he didn't understand the idea how the Messiah could be a servant. And then he didn't understand how that somebody that had been serving alongside of him for 3 years now denied Jesus Christ. I've counseled many former pastors' kids who struggled and even turned away from Christ when they got out on their own. And yet could never find contentment. And so they come back to a church and they wanted to find the help, the counsel that would help them. Had several sit across from my desk. They said, well, my dad was a pastor, but he really didn't act like a pastor outside of the pulpit. My mom was a pastor's wife, but she really didn't even live up to what the church expected out of other women in the church. Yes, my mom and dad were in the ministry while I was a teenager, but then they changed their conviction, they changed their stands, and they went from one side of the right and to the one side of the left, and there's a ditch on both sides, and they went to the extremes on one side to the other, and it just brought so much confusion into my life. And so I just gave up on church. But yet, if they were truly saved, I believe most of these were, that's what brought them back into the church and into the pastor's office seeking counsel and what to do. There have been a few throughout the years where they said, I've seen how the church treated my mom and dad. And I thought, if that's what the church is all about, I don't want to be a part of it. Again, no excuse for getting out of church and no excuse for turning your back on Christ and no excuse for Peter to deny Christ three times. But there's reasons that lead up to making those kind of decisions. Life-changing, life-altering decisions. And Peter is seeing both of these things. There's so many in life that have been exposed to ungodly so-called Christianity. And because of these ungodly experiences, left the church and left their faith confused and even a little bitter. And can I tell you, you will never find contentment through confusion and bitterness. Peter, this night, Peter's now very confused concerning Jesus. And he's angry and maybe bitter at Judas. Right after this, Jesus would establish the Lord's Supper. If you look here with me back in John chapter 13, in verse 26 and 27, Judas would leave. After he revealed it to be Judas Iscariot, and then verse 27, the Bible says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So after Jesus exposed Judas, after they're finishing now the Passover meal, then Judas leaves. The other disciples are somewhat jaws dropped, watching Judas walk out of the upper room. And then we find in the order that the events happen, and chronology that Jesus, now with the 11, would establish the Lord's Supper. And we find that Paul brings us together in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 23. At this time, Jesus would establish an ordinance for his church for the purpose of remembering. Now, he is telling them what is going to happen. He's been telling them what he was getting ready to do. They couldn't understand it then, but as he told Peter, you will be able to understand it. Just trust in me and keep following me. Keep the faith. And so now after Judas has been exposed and Judas leaves, and then he gets those together and he establishes this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And we find here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, as Paul is presenting it to the church at Corinth in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And the 11 took the bread, and in their hearts and minds were still wondering. They knew this is what Jesus had said, but this is for me to remember the physical body of Jesus Christ. And he said, understand the reason you're doing this is to remember me. And what he will eventually do for them. And then he says in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he break it and take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of in my blood. New Testament Christianity based on Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. This cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Peter would not fully appreciate this until after the resurrection. But this was in his mind. All these things were now in the mind of Peter. Confused, not fully understanding. But Jesus will always prepare us for whatever it is that we'll have to go through. Peter would be prepared, but he wouldn't have enough confidence, enough faith to obey, to listen. Peter then would be warned and admonished for what was to come to pass. Luke in chapter 22. This is all in the order in which things happened. In Luke in chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That's in Peter's head. Now we're going to get to the denial of the Apostle Peter, Jesus Christ. That's coming. That's in the next lesson plan. But all of this is in his head before he denies him. Peter was warned and admonished for what was to come to pass. Can I end this tonight by making this applicable? First of all, Satan wants to separate believers from God. That's taking place today. Whether he's going to use a friend of yours that's gotten out of church, he's going to use something that you don't understand about Christ, something that you don't understand about the Bible, you have misinterpreted it, you've been in a wrong church, whatever is going on, something has gone on to get you to the place that you are in that you want to get out of church or get away from serving God. Understand there's a spiritual warfare taking place in our lives, and Satan wants, first of all, he wants to keep you from ever believing in Jesus Christ. He got that victory in Judas's life. He kept Judas from ever truly believing and putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. He had a part of Judas's life, and ultimately he entered into Judas. But the other 11 were saved. But they all denied him that very night. Satan got a victory. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to separate believers from God. Satan wants you. He didn't want God to have you. Satan wants you. It's your choice. If you're not yielded to God, listen to me, then you're going to yield to a spirit of Satan. You're going to yield to a spirit of evil, and you're not going to serve God, that you will live a life in rebellion to God's will for your life. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. And I tell you, I know there's many out there listening to this, that this is identifying. You're identifying with this because it's happened to you. Can I tell you, if it happened to 11 of the apostles, I guarantee you that's something that's been recorded so that we might learn from that. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul here writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve," the serpent is the devil, "and he beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." If Peter would have listened to Jesus and would have just obeyed his word instead of trying to add to it or take away from it, he would have been much better off. But he didn't. And now Satan is blinding him through all these other things that was in his head, through these other things that happened that night. And he would actually get him to the place where he will deny Christ 3 times. He wants you, and he wants to sift you. He wants to use you for his purposes and keep you from being used of God for God's purposes for your life. In verse 32, I love this part. He says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted from doubt, strengthen thy brethren." Someone who truly has faith is saved, and you can't lose that. You can be blinded to your faith. Judas never had faith, saving faith. Peter had it. He couldn't lose it, but he could be blinded to it. And as Jesus said, I have prayed for you, can I tell you, any born-again believer in this New Testament church age could hold on to that to realize that Jesus is at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, and Jesus is praying for you. Matter of fact, he even sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within you to seal you to that day of redemption. And what he is, as Jesus was praying for Peter, the Holy Spirit now is working inside of us the very same thing. The Holy Spirit is working inside of us to remind us of who we are. Even though Peter, because of all these things that were taking place, he would deny the Lord, but he still remained inside of him all the experiences and everything that Jesus had ever taught him. And all it would take is him actually looking up to Jesus and seeing Jesus, and they made eye contact when the cock crew, and he remembered what Jesus had said to him, and that remembrance brought it all back, and now he sees Jesus and he repents for what he had done, because he knows who he is now. We get to that point, he realized everything that Jesus had done and everything Jesus had said and every experience he had went through, he understood who he was. He was saved. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to be mindful of that. If you're saved, Satan wants to blind you to who you are. You need to get back to understanding who you are as a born-again believer. Not only will he remind you who you are, he'll convict us of our sin. That idea there, when he says, when thou art converted. Converted is convicted and repentance. Understanding where I need to be and where I'm at, and repenting of where I'm at so that I can get back to where I need to be. You've let all these things blind you to who you are. And because you were blinded to who you were, you denied the Lord. That's sin. You yielded to sin and you denied the Lord. And before all the people that you denied him before, the testimony that you lost amongst all the people. And now you have been made aware of who you are and you've been convicted of the sin. And now you're coming back to yourself. And you understand what you've done, and you say, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live in sin. And you confess your sin, and you, as you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin, and he will restore you to that fellowship with God. And that's being converted as a believer. That's Peter when he was converted. And then lastly, as we repent, and God is brought back to our minds, we can then continue to serve the Lord and to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus would ask him if he loved him. Later on, he said, you know, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. That's what he called Peter to do. To strengthen thy brethren. To feed the sheep. To be a leader. To be the apostle that God had called him to be. Peter would remember all of this. If you're saved, you will too. Just don't wait too long. You're passing up a close relationship with God. You're passing up the peace that God wants to give you. You're passing up the opportunities of a testimony and accomplishing what God has called you and every one of us to accomplish. Every one of us have our race to run. Get back on the track. Get back in the race. Turn back to Jesus. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God's speaking to you tonight. The message was one that I know would needs to be applied to so many people's lives. You're miserable. You're confused. And you're going in a wrong direction. Get your eyes back and focused on Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for direction. And I just pray, God, as you would work in Peter's life, I pray, God, that we would be aware that you will work in our lives in like manner. If there's anyone that's listening to this that needs to be saved, I pray, God, that tonight they would bow before you and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If there's any believers that have been blinded by a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations, ungodly situations that Satan has brought into their lives, I pray that they would see the light, they would confess and forsake and be restored to service and be restored to the relationship and the fellowship that they can have with you. I pray, God, that you'd work in this invitation. Help us to make the right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.